This is the Direct Action Radio News, recorded April 28, 1999.
This week in our program,
international mobilization to save Mumia Abu-Jamal brings tens of thousands into the streets.
Monsanto stockholders meeting disrupted by Missouri Greens.
Major strikes rock Korea.
Gartenberger finally buckles to boycotts.
Labor unrest in South Africa.
Students at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill win one against garment sweatshops.
Columbia State workers stage day-long strike.
And popular opposition to NATO bombings of Yugoslavia intensifies in Italy.
The April 24th international mobilization to save Mumia Abu-Jamal drew tens of thousands to peaceful protests across the U.S. and around the world. Between 10 and 15,000 people turned out for the demonstration in Mumia's hometown of Philadelphia. On the West Coast, where a one-day solidarity work stoppage by longshore workers shut down ports from Bellingham, Washington to San Diego, California, the demonstration in San Francisco was even larger, drawing as many as 20,000. Smaller rallies dotted the political landscape of other cities from Eugene, Oregon to Stockholm, Sweden. African-American journalist and writer Abu-Jamal was convicted of killing a white Philadelphia policeman in a 1982 trial so irregular that it has brought questions and condemnation from around the world. "It's up to us to say to this country that we aren't going to tolerate this anymore," declared veteran African-American civil rights activist Dick Gregory, alluding to the death sentence hanging over Abu-Jamal at the Philadelphia rally. "If we let this happen to him, it can happen to any of us or our children." Police in San Francisco admitted the protest there was the largest they had seen in recent memory. Despite the intense emotions inspired by Mumia's case, there were no reports of rioting or clashes with police. Across the U.S., authorities seem to be holding back to avoid escalating an already volatile situation. Abu-Jamal's continued writing from prison has garnered wide support from those opposed to institutional racism and corruption in the United States prison industrial complex. Abu-Jamal was denied a new trial by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court last year. His lawyers are pursuing a federal appeal.
As Monsanto CEO Robert Shapiro addressed the company's annual stockholders meeting on April 24th in St. Louis, Missouri, Gateway Green Alliance activists interrupted with pointed questions about Monsanto's refusal to label their genetically altered food. "There are real safety concerns about this, being voiced by people all over the world, and your company wants to deny them their rightful choice. If your food products are so great, why don't you advertise them as genetically enhanced?" asked one activist. When Shapiro refused to answer, the Green then poured a container of milk onto the carpet, saying loudly, "This is what I think of your hormones in our milk." His action referred to the Monsanto-produced RBGH, recombinant bovine growth hormone, which is injected into cows to increase milk production. Many independent health experts believe the hormone is responsible for health threats to both cows and people. The future of RBGH is dubious as the U.S. remains the only industrialized country allowing its use. Stockholders watched as the activist was escorted from the meeting by a number of security personnel and local authorities. Some stockholders commented on the intense levels of security. One asked Shapiro, "With so many guards, how did those people ever manage to throw a pie in your face?" Monsanto security had attempted to block activists' entrance into the meeting. When they connected them by phone to their stockbroker, they reluctantly stood back. Outside Monsanto World headquarters, 24 Gateway Green Alliance members picketed and chatted with reporters. Asked why they were there, one explained, "We want to urge Monsanto stockholders to consider the viability of a company which is putting all of its effort into genetic engineering at the same time that technology is being protested throughout the world. The environmental group is particularly concerned with a high level of cancer-causing insulin-like growth factor, IGF-1, in milk." A spokesperson stated, "It is clear that cows injected with RBGH release IGF-1 into their milk. When people drink this milk, they have an increased risk of colon, breast, and prostate cancer." The Gateway Green Alliance is a chapter of the Missouri Green Party and the Green Party USA, one of several organizations participating in the Global Days of Action Against Genetic Engineering during April 22nd through the 28th, when demonstrations and teach-ins are being held in U.S., Canada, and Europe.
Militant South Korean unions, fearing that corporate restructuring will worsen record levels of unemployment, launched a strike campaign on April 19th with a stoppage by the Seoul Subway Workers Union. The state-run subway system drafted in some 7,000 non-union workers, officials, and soldiers to continue service. Riot police kept unions from setting up picket lines. A spokesperson for the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, which has announced a strike campaign to culminate in a nationwide May Day rally, said 9,000 subway workers went out on strike, a total of of 20,000 workers from 35 unions staged sympathy strikes, including telecommunications firm Daycom, the Korea Electricity Technology Authority, and the National Oil Pipeline Authority, he said. The KCTU general campaign is aimed at forcing a change in the overall orientation of the government's restructuring policy, a KCTU statement said, accusing the government of pushing corporations to make mass layoffs. The ill-advised policy, perhaps aimed at appeasing the Wall Street neoliberal zealots, was last year responsible for the dismissal of some 400,000 workers and the collapse of the domestic economy as a whole, the statement said. The militant KCTU said it was offering a commitment to reduce working hours as an alternative policy. About 10,000 unionized workers from the KCTU demonstrated at the main Seoul railway station on Monday, waving signs that read, "Reduce work hours" and "The government should negotiate." No violence was reported. The 50,000-strong Korea Telecom Trade Union is expected to keep the momentum going by striking on April 26th. The KCTU will also organize daily mass rallies in Seoul and other cities, culminating in nationwide May Day rallies, the statement said. The KCTU, boasting some 500,000 members, withdrew from a consensus-building commission on restructuring efforts in February, which was composed of labor, government, and management. South Korea's largest union group, the Federation of Korean Trade Unions, has followed suit. An association of employers said it was also leaving. The government is caught between two pressure points as it seeks to revolutionize the way the country does business following a financial crisis in late 1997 that brought the banking system to the brink of collapse. With prodding from the International Monetary Fund, which arranged a record $58 billion rescue package, the government is pressuring Korea's giant family-run conglomerates to reduce debt and shut down excess capacity. The crisis forced many small and medium-sized businesses to close, which has sent the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate soaring over the past year to a record 8.7% in February from 5.9% in February 1998.
Meat-free patty producer Garden Burger under boycott because of its connection with NORPAC, whose growers have refused to negotiate working conditions with unionized workers, announced April 26 that they have cut ties to NORPAC and will distribute their own product in the future. Organizers of the Garden Burger boycott have declared victory and lifted the consumer action. The boycott of NORPAC products, FlavorPak and Westpac products, continues. This victory is in large part due to the efforts of thousands of supporters nationwide to get the word out. People across the country work to get Garden Burger products out of their universities, retreat centers, restaurants, and stores. With Garden Burger's decision, NORPAC has now lost an account which represented a substantial source of income for them. This is a great victory for farm workers who are closer than ever to bringing NORPAC growers to the negotiating table, read a statement issued by boycott organizers.
A nationwide strike against South Africa's private bus companies continued on April 21st as employers and union representatives mulled over this week's new management offer of 7% against the union's new demand of 10%. About 15,000 bus company employees went on strike last Thursday after management initially offered them a 6.5% increase. Their initial demand of an 11.5% increase has since been lowered to 10%. The South African Bus Employers Association requested unions to suspend the strike pending the outcome of negotiation, but this was rejected. The effect of the strikes has been mixed, with long-distance bus company Greyhound unaffected, but Putco at a complete standstill. The taxi industry, born out of a bus boycott during apartheid, has laid on extra runs to ferry those stranded by the strike. However, rolling blockades by taxis in Cape Town on Wednesday created further transport uncertainty as drivers voiced their opposition to the taxi permit system and fuel price increases. Also on the 21st, workers organized by the Mouthpiece Workers Union came out on strike at the Rustenburg and Union Platinum Mines, demanding the National Union of Mine Workers be excluded from a task team investigating the Workers' Provident Fund. Mouthpiece is also demanding that management implement a wage increase agreement. Anglo-American Platinum Corporation spokesman Johan Adler said about 18,000 workers were involved in the strike, which he said was unprotected. Adler said the demands had not been put to management. A Mouthpiece spokesperson said the strike was in protest against management's insistence that the National Union of Mine Workers be included in a task team to investigate Mouthpiece's ongoing demand that Amplant's Provident Fund be paid out to workers and a new fund be set up.
A 72-hour sit-in by students at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill protesting labor abuses by garment manufacturers producing school logo items ended April 22nd when Acting Chancellor William McCoy signed and approved recommendations requiring full disclosure of labor conditions by firms contracting with the university. This gives UNC Chapel Hill a position of leadership on the issue of elimination of labor abuses in the collegiate apparel industry. The news was greeted by a rally of approximately 200 students, faculty, and community members. Students went into the administration building on the UNC Chapel Hill campus April 20th, vowing to stay until the chancellor agreed to their demands to help stop the use of sweatshop labor in the production of university apparel.
Columbia's public sector employees stage a day-long strike on April 21st to protest the threat of job cuts and a wholesale reduction in worker benefits. Union leaders said up to 450,000 people, including oil industry and health workers, took part in the nationwide work stoppage. It was the fourth such action since President Andre Pastrana took office 8 months ago. State-run hospitals attended emergencies only, and workers blocked entrances to oil production facilities across the country until midday. Strikers may have been responsible for the temporary shutdown of a refinery in Cartagena, a spokesman for state oil company Ecopetrol said. Meanwhile, an estimated 7 million students stayed home as a separate strike involving 300,000 teachers entered its third day. Luis Eduardo Garzon, head of the Unitary Workers Federation, the country's largest labor organization, said a full-fledged strike could begin next week if the government ignores union demands. He urged the government to drop draconian austerity measures from its economic development plan, which has been submitted to Congress for approval. If the legislature approves the plan, Garzon said the government could slash Social Security benefits, impose new taxes, and hike Colombia's retirement age. In addition, he said, some workers might no longer be paid overtime or receive job-related benefits, such as Social Security, health care, and pensions. If the government doesn't cede this week, there will be an indefinite strike in health and other sectors next week, Garzon told Reuters. Garzon and other labor leaders also have complained the government is planning to cut thousands of public sector jobs by merging some ministries and state dependencies as part of an austerity drive. Tensions are running high, with some 55% of Colombians living below the poverty line, and the nation showing no sign of a swift return to traditional growth rates that have outpaced those of most of its neighbors.
On April 3rd, 100,000 people marched in a demonstration in Rome against the NATO bombing campaign in Yugoslavia. A week later, another demonstration of over 50,000 took place. There's a lot of opposition to the NATO bombing amongst the workers and youth in Italy in spite of the government support. There was a demonstration about 3,000 strong at the Aviano Air Base in northern Italy. This is one of the bases the NATO warplanes are using. The demonstration was brutally attacked by the police, who waded into the demonstrators with truncheons and fired tear gas canisters. There's widespread opposition to the bombing amongst the students, but even more important have been the developments in the labor movement. On Thursday, April 22nd, over 600 shop stewards gathered in the Milan Trade Union headquarters to take part in a national assembly called by 40 factory councils. The meeting called on the national leadership of the three main trade union federations to organize a general strike against the war. They also decided to organize a series of mass meetings in the factories on the question. What happened in the town of Massa in Tuscany is an indication of how the movement could develop. The official unions organized a four-hour provincial general strike on April 19th. This was the first serious strike action called by the trade unions against the war. The national leadership seems less prepared to organize a serious movement, but the pressure could build up, especially if ground troops are sent in. The number of people on the demonstration was 5,000. A large number of school teachers were there with a banner that had some lines from a Bertolt Brecht poem. Among the vanquished, the poor people went hungry. Among the victors, the poor people went hungry. Prior to the demonstration, teachers and students had organized meetings in the schools on the war. Apart from the teachers, there were also blue-collar workers from the factories, government workers, the pensioners' union, the railway workers, and the workers from the marble quarries of Carrara. Significantly, there were also a delegation on the demonstration from the police trade union.
This has been the Direct Action Radio News, recorded April 28, 1999.
The Direct Action Radio News is a project of the Direct Action Media Network.
Found on the web at http://dam.tao.ca/news/index.
And is produced at the studios of Radio Free Cascadia in Eugene, Oregon.
With special thanks to the A-Info's radio project.
Until next week, this is Leaf.
And this is Thuja, reminding you that actions speak louder than words.